Good morning. Our scripture lesson this morning is from Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1754. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Here ends our lesson. You may be seated.
Good morning, Beacon Falls Congregational. I'm glad to be back with you this morning, Pastor Tim, Chaplain Tim, and not glad that Jess is gone. I've got a plethora of stuff up here, electronics, plus the Bible, plus everything. And my tablet, I'm going to have my message on. Let's hope it hasn't signed out. I work for hospice, and there's medical information on here, and it takes me about 10 minutes to sign it. No, not really. Thank you for the mint. My morning cough. Glad you're here, and I'm glad to be here in the house of the Lord as we come together to hear God's word and to worship him. I want to think about surrender to God, learning to surrender. I was in Africa, in East Africa, in Uganda for 2 years from 1983 to 1985. After college, before I heard my true calling to go to ministry and went to seminary in New Orleans. But at the end of that time, I, along with three others who were serving there in Uganda, had the opportunity to go on a safari. I love the animals, and we went to Kenya, we went in Uganda, and saw the African animals. But this particular trip, we decided we were going to Rwanda and Zaire, which is now the Republic of Congo, and we were going to see the mountain gorillas of Rwanda there in the Virunga Mountains. And there's mountain gorillas in Uganda, but we went into Rwanda. And these are the same mountain gorillas that were just studied by Diane Fossey and were in a movie, The Gorillas in the Mist. And they were endangered because of poachers. And so they had dwindled down. I think she was killed sometime after I left by poachers. But we decided we always were up for an adventure in my 20s and young and single and weren't afraid of anything at that age. And so we paid, a little bit crazy, $300 U.S. dollars each to go on this safari, which may sound like a lot, but I looked the other day, something came across my feed and it said for $16,000, National Geographic will take you to see these same mountain gorillas. So it was a pretty good value. But we set out and we had a guide with a AK-47 in case we encountered any dangerous animals. And we hiked for about 3 hours. We started at the point where they knew they were the day before and just tracked them through the jungle. And we finally found them on a slope steep there in the rainforest, and a steep slope in the rainforest there in Rwanda. And there was the family of gorillas. There's always the dominant male silverback. There's a number of females and maybe a juvenile male, but there's babies in their midst. And they were doing their thing, and we were right there in their midst. And the male silverback was about from me to you over there. And the family was sort of spread out, and some of them gathered in our midst. And the guide had already told us, now this family of gorillas is ruled by the dominant male silverback. Now, if he shows signs of aggression or looks like he's going to charge, don't run nor try to resist, because resistance is futile. And if you run, he will still catch you. That will be a sign of aggression. What you need to do is just lay down, surrender, submit. If you saw this male silverback, he was very, very huge. Very imposing animal, scary animal. I've got a picture, I think it's on my iPhone still, of the glare he was giving me as I took a picture with my zoom lens, even though I didn't really need one. But luckily, he did not attack. He just stared us down and looked like, don't do anything to my family. Surrender is all we could do, because he was in control. He had great power. So it is with God. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere. We need to learn to surrender to him. Amen? Why is it that we're so stubborn, though? None of us are any different. What does it mean to surrender? To abandon, to relinquish, to resign, to waive, to yield. To let go. I'm going to read something in about letting go in life. Something we can't hold on to. To give up completely. It means giving up after a struggle to retain or resist. Many times surrender is associated with what? Weakness. You surrender in battle means you have lost. You are giving up because any attempt to continue to fight on is futile, and you need to surrender. And we see that in warfare at times. Some battles need to continue to be fought against evil so that evil does not flourish. Thank God that we did that in World War II. Saw it through to the end, and those veterans who sacrificed and of course, the Civil War. I'm glad there was surrender there when you look at the loss of American lives and what was being fought for. But surrendering to God is about strength, and it's always about winning, not losing, and discovering a better life. All religions have an element of surrender, and Christianity is no different. As we read and heard read our passage this morning, Paul's treatise to the church at Rome, he talks about surrender and offering ourselves to God and to Jesus, who died, but yet he rose again. Offer our bodies not as instruments to sin, but to righteousness. Surrender to God. Don't surrender to that which is bad, to sin, which we have been delivered from, which Christ died for. He started that passage just briefly, and he says, we've been saved by grace. Are we to continue to sin so that grace may abound all the more? He says, may it never be. By no means should you do that. Is there enough grace to cover any sin that we commit? Yes, there is. But we should not take advantage of that grace, but we should offer and surrender ourselves to God, not to that which is sinful. Christianity requires complete surrender to God and to His Son Jesus for all those who choose to believe and follow Him. That key verse, we could say the essence of the sermon and the sentence, is in verse 13. I just quoted, offer yourselves or surrender yourselves to God who have been brought from death to life. Not surrendering or offering yourselves to sin, but to righteousness, is what Paul says. Other passages, he says, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ. I remember hearing that first time when I was in high school, and we were studying that. In one translation, it said, reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ. Now, being from the South, we were teenagers, we didn't quite understand it, but we said, I reckon I'm dead. You reckon you're dead? Yeah, I reckon so. But if we're dead to sin, why is it that we continue to live in it? We struggle with it, don't we? It's a daily struggle. It's a daily battle against our will, against what we might be tempted by, what might come out of our mouth. And so it's a daily surrender. A moment-by-moment surrender, I would suggest. Other places in paradoxes about surrender, Jesus said, if you want to gain your life, you must what? Lose your life. You must surrender your life. Seems opposite, but it is the words of Jesus. If anyone wants to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Take up his cross. Die and follow me. The key to victory in the Christian faith and what God requires is surrender to Him. Letting go, not resisting. Letting His Spirit indwell us. Letting the power of the risen Christ be lived out in us on a daily basis. Other words of Paul, Galatians 2:20, if I've been crucified with Christ, what does it say? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You got it? So surrender is key to living the Christian life. Well, I'm going to give you three things that will help us to surrender, because we know that that's the key, but we fail a lot at it. Would you agree? The first thing I would say to learn to surrender, that we need to realize, that I've learned to say each day, is surrender to Him and say, God, you know, you're God and I'm not. Can you say that? God, you're God and I'm not. And say, I surrender all to you today. Can you say that? I surrender all to you today. Mountain gorillas, I was forced to surrender. I didn't have another choice because of the power, the circumstances, the situation. But God will bring us to the point of surrender, and usually we have a choice, but sometimes it's out of compulsion. We don't have a choice. He disciplines us. And finally, we come to our senses and we turn to Him. Few passages about surrender and where we are in light of God. As a hospice chaplain, I've learned a lot of different portions of Scripture that are near and dear to me. It's 28 years of preaching, but Psalm 31 I happened upon, and it is a struggle of David. And David struggled with his faith, walking with God, doubting God at times, wondering why God is not answering his prayers, wondering why the circumstances are so adversarial against him. One time he says, why have you forsaken me? That was echoed by Jesus on the cross. But yet he was a great man of faith. He had to learn to surrender. But he wrote these words in Psalm 31. And this is what I tell families. It's sort of a committal of somebody who is on their deathbed. That is beyond our control as well. We'll have to surrender to death one day. He says, Into your hands I entrust my spirit, or I surrender my spirit. You have redeemed me, Lord God of truth. Verse 5 of Psalm 31. A little bit later he says, ah, you're my Lord and my God. My times are in your hands. So God is, we're in God's hands, whether we like it or not, as his children, and he's there to lead us and to guide us and sometimes spank us on the rear end when we need discipline and not doing what we should. But we need to surrender to that fact that he is with us. Our daily prayer should be what? God, you're God, and I'm not. I surrender all to you. When we surrender to something, we let go of trying to control the uncontrollable. Do we try to control God sometimes? God, this is what I want. Let me lay it out for you. You want to make God laugh? I think you told me this. Just tell him your plans. I like that. He sometimes looks down and says, how are your plans working out? You want to do it my way now? We stop trying to force and coerce other people or God or ourselves or life itself according to our perspective, our perceptions, our preferences to put everything in a mold. We make an inward turn towards working with instead of working against God. And sometimes we work against him. We need to practice letting go and that need of control. Become more comfortable with the unknown. Let go of the idea that you always know best. And sometimes we think that, I'm God, I know what's best. I can do this, God. I don't need your help, like a two-year-old. Giving up on your own plans to follow God will require strength, faith, and trust in a higher power. That higher power is our God and his son, Jesus. By following the scripture and surrendering to God, we allow ourselves to go with the flow of life, finding deeper meaning by fulfilling our true life purpose to glorify God. Surrender invites us to inhabit a place of non-resistance, to practice patience. When we surrender, we reclaim our energy and allow it to build us up on the inside of ourselves. We reclaim that energy from God and his spirit. We stop swimming upstream. Sometimes we need to go against the flow and swim upstream when the culture is going downstream. But we are surrendered to God if we have to do that. But God's way and his current will guide us and lead us. So surrender each day and say, God, you're God and I'm not. I surrender all to you. We'll learn that that's what's best for us. Doing things God's way and God's timing and experience is best. Right? That's what we should all want. Another key to surrender is spending time in prayer. Surrender comes through prayer. We're trying to let go of something. Let God direct our planning. It's really important that we seek his face in prayer. And prayer is more than just regurgitating our needs to him. But it is praising him. It is adoring him. It is thanking him. It is letting him know our needs as our Heavenly Father, but it's also listening, as communication is not just about speaking, but it's about listening to God. And God speaks to us still through other people, through circumstances, through that still small voice, and sometimes through a thunderstorm like we had the other day in the morning that was so violent. And sometimes we have deaf ears and still don't hear. But we need to take time to pray and seek God. And that prayer that I said is a good way to start the day, but you may need to say it multiple times during the day, and surrender is moment by moment, not just at the start of your day. Prayer changes our perspective. We should say, not my will, but thy will. Surrendering to God's will. In God's presence, in his holiness, we're convicted of sin. We're not to surrender to sin and practice sin that we've been saved from by his death. We're to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. God's grace will forgive us of any sin that we've committed, past and present and future, but we're not to continue in perpetual sin. We won't be delivered from sin until we're called to God forever. Our salvation will be complete and we'll be glorified with God in heaven, and the presence of sin will be removed. So we have the power over sin through Jesus and through his Spirit, but we have to make a choice each day not to surrender to it. It's still present. When we discover sin in our prayers or in our quiet moments or God speaks to us, we can confess that sin, and he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of that sin. We all know that. It shifts our focus from to God to glorify and praise him, that it's about him, it's not about me. It's about not about me, but about thee, right? Not my will, but thy will be done. It's the altar of surrender, prayer is, where we can place our plans before him and seek his direction. God, what do you think? What is your desire? What would most please you? And you may say, my child, what are your heart's desires? Because sometimes trust in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And our heart is corrupt, but yet at times it reveals our passions, our calling, and he can speak to us. It's that means we seek his personal will for our lives. So say to God, your God, and I'm not a surrender all, and do that through prayer. Then how else does God speak to us? Through what? You hear it each week as Pastor Jess preaches it. You should be reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating on it. Letting it guide your life is the Word of God. Key to surrender is being in God's Word. We need to realize that God's way is the best way. I've already implied that, but sometimes we think we know what's best. The best way is found as God has set his moral will for us, his guidelines. He has a personal will, and sometimes those personal decisions, you're not going to find it directly in God's Word, but God can speak through his Word and through his Spirit and through others as we seek him in prayer, to give us direction even about those personal choices that we have. We've got to spend time in his Word. I once heard this acronym, and I found this helpful, and I'll give it to you. As you spend time in God's Word, think of the word SPACE, S-P-A-C-E, a little acronym. As you read God's Word, look for S, sins to confess. God speaks to us through his Word, and when he says, thou shalt not do this, if you're doing that, then if you're his child, you should feel conviction of his Spirit and then find his forgiveness. Sins to confess. And then the Bible is full of these. As you read his Word, look for promises to claim. And there are many wonderful promises that give us assurance, that are sure and certain, that will come to pass. That will happen because these words God has written down through man come from him through his Spirit. And God is not a liar, and he will keep his promises. A, actions to take or attitudes to change. You need to be doing this. You need to stop doing this. You've got an attitude problem. You need an attitude adjustment, okay? You ever need one of those? Yep. That's what God's Word will do as we read it, as we put ourselves under it. C, commandments to obey. Just as there are commands, promises, there are also things God says we are to do. Are we doing those things? Do we pick and choose what we want to do and what we don't want to do? That's our way, not his way, right? And then finally, the E of God's Word, examples to follow or not to follow. Giving up your own plans to follow God's will requires strength, faith, trust. Following scriptures is a means of surrender to God day by day. Be infilled by his Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I'm glad you're here this morning to hear God's Word. May it sink into our hearts and may we apply it and live it out day by day. When I preached this first, I sort of focused on Psalm 37, but the benefits of surrendering to God and following His Word, David in Psalm 37, just to read a few passages from that. If God's way is best, listen to what David says about doing things God's way and surrendering to Him. He's addressing why the evil seem to flourish, and I, who is righteous, try to do what is right, and I'm having a hard time, is sort of what he's addressing here. But listen to what he says. Don't be annoyed by anyone who does wrong. Don't envy them. They will soon disappear like grass without rain. Trust the Lord and live right. Did we not hear that from Paul? Surrender to him. Do what is offer your bodies as instruments of righteousness. He says, the land will be yours. You will be safe. Do what the Lord wants, and he'll give you your heart's desire. Let the Lord lead you and trust him to help you. Then he further says, the wicked will lose all their power, but the Lord gives strength to everyone who is good. Those who obey the Lord are daily in his care. What he has given them will be theirs forever. They won't be in trouble when times are bad, and they will have plenty when food is scarce. And a little bit further says, if you do what the Lord wants, he will make certain each step you take is sure. The Lord will hold your hand. And if you stumble, and we do stumble, you won't fall. If you stop sinning, stop surrendering to sin, surrender to God, start doing what is right, you will keep living and be secure forever. And he closes and he says this in Psalm 37. He says, think of the bright future waiting for all the families of the honest, innocent, and peace-loving people. But not a trace will be left of the wicked of their families. The Lord protects his people, and they can come to him in times of trouble. The Lord helps his people and saves them from the wicked because they run to him. Who do you run to? Who do you go to in time of need? We should go to God day by day. Surrender to him. Say, God, you're God, and I'm not. I surrender all. Not my will, but thy will. Seeking him in prayer so that he might speak to you. Putting ourselves in God's word, hearing, reading, studying God's word, that it may speak to us about how we need to surrender each and every day as his spirit speaks to us. I started with the story about a big monkey. I want to talk about a little monkey. How to catch a monkey. Africa, Indonesia, other parts of the world, they have monkeys and they catch them. They'll eat them. Oh, knock my Britney Spears microphone off. And what they'll do, they'll get a gourd, a hollow gourd, and they'll hollow out a little hole, and they'll tie it to a tree or something, or they'll get a termite mound. In Africa, they were like 6 to 8 feet tall, these termite mounds out of clay, and they'd hollow out a little hole just large enough for the monkey to push his hand through the hole. They'll put a sweet fruit or treat back there that they know the monkey likes. The monkey will come along, smell the fruit, realize it's in the back of the hole. They don't always use a stick. They do use tools sometimes, but usually they'll stick their hand in there because it's big enough for their hand to go in like this. And what do? They grab hold of that treat, of that fruit. And then what happens? They try to pull it out of the hole, but they've made a fist. They're holding on to that treat, and they won't let go. They won't surrender. They want it so bad, they won't let go until they're caught and killed and eaten to their demise. Well, I would ask you this morning, what do you need to let go of? What do you need to surrender? What are you holding on to? There are some things we need to hold on to, our faith, our families, but some things there we have in life that we need to let go of. And I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to close, and we're going to sing I Surrender All. I wrote this several weeks ago as my 92-year-old mom passed away, and I was going down in the airport, and I was thinking about this idea of letting go. And I penned these words, and it relates to surrender to God, and surrender to the things we cannot control and let go and trust God. Life is about letting go as much as we try to hold on. Our life journey will require us to let go. Letting go is entwined in every aspect of our life, our faith, our relationships, our health, well-being, our past, our present, our future. Letting go is not easy, as we are creatures who like to be in control and have it our way. Sometimes we let go by choice, and other times by compulsion. Choosing to let go in these ways will benefit our lives as well as those around us. Letting go and letting God take the reins, we call that faith. Letting go of our past mistakes. Letting go of the negative emotions we can harbor towards one who has wronged us, we call that forgiveness. Letting go of sinful and harmful behaviors, don't surrender to sin, that encumber us and hold us back from living our best life. Letting go of unhealthy relationships, and then if you're that age, young age, letting go of the shelter and security of our childhood home, the parental watch, and moving out our own to start a new life of our own. And then parents that have children, how about this? I was reflecting on my own daughters who are now 28 and 31. One married, have a first grandchild. Letting go of our children as they go to school for the first time, as they go on their first date or take their first car solo trip as a newly licensed driver. Letting go as they leave home for the first time for college, military service, or other endeavors. Remember the tears? Remember how hard that was, letting go? Letting go can be painful and emotional, but how could our children grow up if we did not push them out of the nest and let go? Letting go of negative emotions, anger and bitterness that can erode our soul, fear that can hold us back from following our dreams, anxiety and worry that can consume and stifle our joy in life. And finally, this very hard letting go is letting go of those we love to death. Though our faith tells us death is great gain for those who believe, it is still a great loss for us, and we struggle with letting them go. As much as we try to hold on, there are times we must let go. What do you need to let go of? What do you need to confess? What do you need to surrender this day in order to do things God's way and experience His best? Amen. I surrender all. Number what?